But we are, what I would like to call, we are in the grip normally during this time of the heart of winter. And I envision the icy grip of winter over the Northeast from December 21st through March the 24th to be like a huge monster. And its hands are gripping our region, an icy, powerful grip. And it's a time in the winter when you can't plant seeds here and grow any fruits or vegetables or flowers. You have to seek shelter from the cold in warm houses or in your warm car. Hopefully you got a good heater. And you need to have warm clothes. Thus, winter is kind of like a captivity that holds our land in its icy, powerful, and captive grip. Until the tilt of the earth rotates around the sun and gets more toward the sun in the spring and even more toward the sun in the summer. So right now we're held in the winter solstice captivity until the south winds begin to blow. But this morning, please follow as I read how the psalmist expressed the desire for his chosen nation to be freed from captivity to the enemy. I want you to turn, if you will, to Psalm 126 and look with me at verse 4. It says in verse 4, the psalmist writes, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." And you know, just as the south winds blow in the spring season and the once frozen lakes and rivers begin to flow again, so you should seek the divine springtime of God's grace in your life and in your nation and in your church that will just cause God's blessings of productivity to flow in your life and through your life into this community. You need to seek the freedom from the winter-like captivity of the enemy so that you can live for God and produce fruit, much fruit, in and through the Lord Jesus. So here's our text. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. I remember going to Israel a few years back with my wife, and we traveled up the Jordan River at one point on the eastern border of Israel. And we hiked up north almost to Mount Hermon. And there we found the beginnings of the Jordan River as it flowed into the Sea of Galilee through different streams. And then from the Sea of Galilee would flow south down toward the Dead Sea. I remember our Israeli guide shared with us, he fought in the Six-Day War in the summer of 1967. And as we were going north toward Mount Hermon, he said, we were in tents. The army was in tents during that time. It was the summertime. He said, but we were up on Mount Hermon in the north, and we got up in the morning, and the snow was just coming down. Beautiful white snow was coming down in the summertime. But you know, in the south of Israel, where the Jordan River flows out into the Dead Sea, it's always warmer there. And they don't have the ice and cold of the snow of the north. And certainly in the spring and summer, it gets very warm. And as those southern streams of water don't ice up like those in the north, the psalmist is saying that here in verse 4, the captivity of his nation is like the frozen season of winter in Israel. It's a time when you can't plant seeds in the promised land and you can't gather in the harvest. And Israel had times like that in their history. And he writes of his desire for that captivity to be over. The winter of captivity, he wants it to be over in verse 4. So he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And he seems to be referring to a time in this psalm when Israel was in captivity to an enemy And so they were not able to sow the promised land and have a harvest of fruit and vegetables in the promised land. Now, you might wonder what time of captivity is he referring to. Some people say, was it the captivity in Egypt when they were there? They were there for 430 years, remember. And it was a great time at the beginning, and they lived in the land of Goshen. They had wonderful times of crops and harvest, at least when Joseph was the leader of Israel during that time under Pharaoh. And it was a great time. But somewhere along the line, there arose up another king, and that king didn't like Israel, and that king was afraid of Israel, so they made them slaves. And for centuries there, they were in slavery in Egypt until God did wonders and signs and brought judgment down on Egypt. And he called Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And the Pharaoh had to let them go, and they left Egypt. And some say, was it that generation that this psalm is talking about, turn our captivity? But the answer is no. The generation that came out of Egypt had never seen the promised land. They'd never lived before in the prosperity of the promised land. And Egypt was long before the Psalms were written, that deliverance out of Egypt. That came in David's day and later when most of these Psalms were written. Some of the elderly people that came out of Egypt had experienced freedom and productive times in Israel, and they were looking forward to that happening again. So here in Psalm 126 in verse 4, the writer longs for and desires a previous time of productivity in the promised land and a deliverance from all the horrors of captivity. He really wants to see wonderful productivity from sowing and harvesting in the promised land. It reminds me of America, frankly. There were times in the past that we could long for when the gospel went forward and many people got saved, and the churches, the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, were some of the largest churches in every state, were independent fundamental Baptist churches, the largest church in Pennsylvania, the largest church in South Carolina, the largest church in Texas, the largest church in California, independent fundamental Baptist churches. Now, this is not written of Egypt and the captivity there, but it is really written of 70 years of captivity by the Empire of Babylon. And Babylon, remember, invaded Israel because of their sin and their backsliding from God, and burned down the temple and destroyed the walls and destroyed Israel and Jerusalem and took the people captive that were left from the northern captivity before that. And they took them to Babylon, and it was prophesied they would be there for 70 years. It started in 606 BC, but now it had happened. In 536 BC, the emperor of Babylon, which was now Persian Empire, Cyrus the Great, wrote a decree in 536 and said, people of Israel can go back to the promised land. We'll provide money for them to go back. And he said they can go back and rebuild their temple. They have an open door of opportunity to return from captivity and have a time of prosperity, have a time of productivity. And you know, you would think the whole nation of millions of people would leave the captivity land of Babylon and go back to the promised land. But do you know, out of all those millions, only 50,000 people went back. Only a remnant took advantage and went back so they could have productivity and leave their captivity. And my message to you this morning, when I think about all this, is called From Captivity to Productivity. From Captivity to Productivity. Psalm 126, verse 4 says, then it says in Psalm 126, verse 4, I'll read it. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the South. And you say, well, how can that happen? Number one, by your past sight of it. By your past sight of it. Notice verse 1 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. You see, he's talking about when Cyrus wrote that decree, the people that saw it, the remnant that saw it, were, it was like a wonderful dream. Touch me, am I really awake? Am I really alive? We've been captives all these years. Now we're free to go back to our homes. We're free to go back to our land. We're free to have productive harvests like we used to have and joyful times like we used to have. And they were excited about that. What a joyous time it was for that remnant to be freed and to go back. And this is, verse is talking about that. Boy, I can't help but think about our church living in America. And we've come to realize that in America, our country has been under captivity. We live in a land that's supposed to be the home of the brave and the land of the free, a constitutional republic where every person gets a vote and we get representatives to represent the will of the people. We have a government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And what a blessing it is. But somewhere after World War II, as Eisenhower warned, President Eisenhower, we came into captivity to a deep state. And our own spy agencies begin to spy on us. Our own spy agencies, we now know, have turned on us. And they are no longer doing the will of the people, expressed in the will of the Congress and so forth. They're now doing their own thing, and their thing is really under the power of international globalists who, after World War II, wanted a one-world government. And we know that's going to wind up in the mark of the beast. In September 15th of 2024, these globalists plan to meet and put upon the nation and even on the world a central bank digital currency. September 15th is their goal, 2024. They have it all planned, and to roll that out, and they want to no doubt bring about crises to be part of that. What a theft that is. And yet I remember in 2016 when Donald J. Trump was elected and he said, I am against these things. I am against these things. I want America to be first. I want America to go by its constitution and not be part of a globalist one world government. And thank God for that. And we heard of that election and we realized that it was all rigged. It was rigged for Hillary Clinton. It was to be won by Hillary Clinton. She didn't even campaign in Michigan. She didn't campaign in states in the Rust Belt because she knew it was rigged. But guess what? She was surprised. A man by the name of Larry Nichols, who knew her tricks, went to those states and he warned them to use paper ballots. And he got enough people to use paper ballots and not use their rigged voting systems that she was shocked. And she even asked Jill Green to call for recounts in those states because she couldn't believe that the election was taken from her. Oh, but we rejoiced in that. And remember when Donald Trump said Jerusalem will be an embassy, and people went back to Jerusalem and an embassy was built there for the first time. A U.S. president made good on that promise. And what a blessing it was. And we had an opportunity now as a church to prosper and to have freedom and to bring in a great harvest. And I remember how God blessed that. I also remember another time of joy and release from captivity. I remember how our church went through a time of captivity in 2017. And I remember a remnant, the leadership remnant of our church stuck with it and stayed with it and prayed and sacrificed until God brought back the pastor so that the church could really go forward and prosper and be productive again. And they stood with God in the church through that time of captivity. And I remembered at the end of that year of 2017, just like in 2016, we rejoiced. We rejoiced because God brought this preacher back to this pulpit, back to head up this church, and in 2018 to lead us forward. And by the way, that is important, and Satan knows that. I think about what Lee Robertson said, everything what? Rises and falls on leadership. I think of the University of Michigan. In 2015, they had a season with a new football coach, a Michigan man named Jim Harbaugh. And he took that team, and it took him some time, but he built that team. And by the time we got to the 2023 season, started in 2015, he led them to a 15-0 season and a national championship. And what a blessing that is. And I think about the joy of that. And I know we had joy when God brought the man of God back. And we celebrated that. And we knew that we could build back into a time of productivity. And it took some time. And we started to go forward and to build. And you know what? Our church was freed back there in 2018 in January to go forward and to build under the leadership of a head coach, a pastor. Now we're in January 2024 and our church team is beginning to hit our full stride of productivity. Our church is at the point where we could be a championship team for God and go through open doors that God has for us. And what a blessing that is. That all relates to this. Now I want you to look with me at verse 2 as we look at the past sight of going from captivity to productivity. Look at 126:2. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Then is when? For Israel, it was when Cyrus said, okay, here's the decree. You can go back. Your captivity is over. You can go back and have productivity. What a time that was. And they were rejoicing in that wonderful, wonderful time. As it says there in Psalm 126, verse 2. Now notice the repetition of the word then. It says then, and then it says again then. Speaking of that time and the joy that they had, they remembered how joyous they were to have Cyrus take over. By the way, do you know in Israel, when I went to Israel, they have a coin with Cyrus on the one side and Donald Trump on the other. They relate Donald Trump to Cyrus. And he is pro-Israel and was a blessing to Israel. And also pro-Christian and a blessing to those that want to preach the gospel. And so, you know, that was such a joyous time. But notice that the moment that happened, it got the attention of the heathen. It says in verse 2, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Do you think it got the attention of the heathen when God delivered Israel out of Egypt with wonders and signs? Do you think it got the attention of the Egyptians when that happened? Oh, it got the attention of the enemy, but it wasn't positive attention. You see, Pharaoh regretted it. And he went after Israel with his armies and he got them against the Red Sea and they had nowhere to escape. They had no weapons. And the people of Israel were freaking out. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he believed God. By the way, I do believe God that there is a salvation for Scranton Revival Baptist Church in this nation. And I'm here to give you that hope and that encouragement this morning in our God. You say, why? Because he's done it before. He can do it again. And he did it then. And so there comes Pharaoh. Whenever we always say, opposition precedes blessing. But I want to say to you this morning, opposition also follows blessing. When you get blessed of God, watch out because the devil's not far away. Right. When you get blessed of God, the devil doesn't like it. When you make a decision to go out soul winning on Thursday night, the devil doesn't like it. When somebody makes a decision to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and get baptized after that and join the church after that, the devil doesn't like it. When you start a new bus ministry, the devil doesn't like it. And by the way, this is a historic day at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. We got freed from captivity in 2018, had a whole year to go forward under the headship of our head coach, the pastor. And today, in 2024, January, we're launching our third bus route today. Thank God for that. We're launching a new Sunday school class, our 11th class today. Thank God for that. We've been running for the last number of weeks well over 100, 120 on regular services. Thank God for that. But the devil notices that. He noticed in 2016 when a God-anointed president to help Israel and the church got elected. He noticed that and he determined to bring it down, just like Pharaoh. He notices when you're coming to church and hearing the word of God and he doesn't like it. But listen to me today. We can learn from the past. We can learn from captivities of the past and the joy that the people had as they were freed up from that captivity and what a blessed time it was for them. And they were excited and they came back to the land. But remember when they came back to the land, it was a mess, man. And that's what we see in this psalm. It was a mess. I mean, there wasn't beautiful fields and a wonderful land. It had been burned and the temple burned and the walls torn down and the land was fallow. And it was a horrible sight to see when they came back. And then they had opposition from the enemies that were living in the land, Sanballat and Tobiah. They didn't like what Cyrus had done for them. And boy, we have seen it. Since the preacher came back, we have seen battles and fights and struggles. But thank God, God has been with us. God has been with us and he will be with us. We've seen struggles ever since the God-anointed president got elected in 2016 with impeachments, lying fake justice system to try to put him in jail and try to ruin him, and the January 6th baloney of insurrection when they planned the whole thing. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God delivered Israel through the Red Sea. God helped Israel when they went back after captivity. And God will help us going forward to be productive for him if you just trust him and you obey and you go through his open doors. You will see the giants fall. Remember the Jews after the captivity of Egypt? They went into the promised land and some of those people said, there are giants in the land. We can't go forward. Listen, beloved, there are giants in our land today. We got a mess on our hands. Look at what's going on in Texas at the border. Look at what old Biden is doing under the globalists, letting people in. And you know why he's letting them in? Because they're coming in from China to invade. They're coming in Florida. They're coming in Texas. They're coming in California. It's well documented. MR-13, the drugs, the gangs are coming in. They're bringing in fentanyl, and they have horse, what do they call that? Horse tranquilizers in it. Fentanyl is killing our people. These folks are coming in from the Middle East and they're saying, you might not know our name now, but you will know us. We are living in a time of terrible shame because these globalists stole the election in 2020. It's clear now. They stole it. A landslide victory for God's anointed president, and they took it. And they said, if you dare talk against it, we will deal with you. You can't even talk against it. They're going and putting the anointed president in court and saying, if you try to mount a defense, you can't do it. You can't do this. You can't do. Look what Elena Abbott Haba has said about it. It's horrible. And they're fighting against it. And in Texas, they're coming in so much so that Governor Abbott of Texas, under pressure, thank God, from patriots, is saying that the federal government is not doing their job, so we're going to put up fencing. And the federal government sued Abbott in court, taking it before the Supreme Court to say, we want the authority to be able to cut down the fencing so we can keep the invasion coming illegally, unconstitutionally. And 25 states have joined with Texas, and they're sending troops down there to say, we're with Texas. Defend the border. And they're 100% right. I say, remember the Alamo. They're 100% right. And so I'm just saying that we can learn from the captivity of the past. And notice what it says here in verse 3 of Psalm 126. It says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. In other words, this is a time when we've been freed from captivity. 50,000 of us are excited about it. We're going to go and go through the doors of opportunity. We're going to travel back to our promised land. We're going to plow the ground and plant it and bring forth seed and rejoice in our opportunity while other people just sat on their hands. I wonder, are you going to sit on your hands when people are called upon to be trained Thursday night to be soul winners and go out? Are you going to sit on your hands when new bus routes are starting and do nothing to help with tithes and offerings and with participation? Are you going to sit on your hands or be part of what God's doing, like that remnant did? Because they looked back at the past and they saw God had freed them, and now they had that opportunity and they could be a time from captivity into a time of productivity. Listen, I have gone through captivity, but I don't plan to stay there. I plan for productivity. You say, but that takes work and you're getting older. I'm a young man in my heart and my soul, beloved. And I want productivity. And so, yeah, the South shall rise again. The revival, the wind is blowing. And there are states, not only in the South, but in the North. They're red states. And they're responding to the will of the people. And they're saying no to this unconstitutional, illegal, captive puppet called O'Biden. They're saying no mas. Amen. No mas! Amen. And I'm for that. Right. And I am saying, they're saying either you get back to the Constitution or we're going to secede and adopt the Constitution. That's where we are. That's where we are. And so these people were rejoicing. They were taking advantage of the opportunity for productivity. I went yesterday out visiting on a bus route, knocking on doors and helping out. Before I did that, I went up to the hospital. Ms. Bajeski had reminded me about Becky Pugh and Mike Pugh, and they were having a baby. And went up there to the hospital to visit. And there was little Ruthie Marie Pugh, born to Becky and to Michael, and they were so happy. Saw that little baby in the room there, prayed over that couple and the baby, and I said to them, you know, this really reminds me of we had six kids, you know, and when we got to three, it still was a small family, I felt. But when we had our fourth child, I said, now we got a big family. It's starting to feel really big. And you say, did that scare you? Well, no, because I knew God said be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so if God said that, he was going to provide for us. Now, my father-in-law had other ideas. He used to look at me with the keys and he would say, I'm going to fix you. And but you know what? God had plans for us to be productive. But I knew it was a big family when we got to that point. I remember visiting my grandmother. And I was in my early 40s at the time, and we had a big growing family, and God was blessing us. And my grandmother said, Randy, she said, these are the green years. You are in the green years. When you're having kids and you're raising the kids, she said, you know, embrace the green years. They're good years. And I said to Becky and I said to Mike, I said, you're in the green years, you know. Get a hold of that and be productive. But you know what? That is exactly God's will for us. If he gives us freedom, if he gives us prosperity, and America first. And by the way, when Trump left, gas was about $1.83 a gallon, and now it's $3 something a gallon. Amen. Big difference. Because the globalists don't want you to prosper.
Right.
They want you to be their slave. They want you to eat bugs, not good food. They want you not to have your own oil and gas. They want you to have these stupid electric cars. Everybody's got to have an electric car. And I'm not saying you can't have an electric car, but I want gas. Amen. I'm just saying, forget this hogwash that they're trying to put on us. We're Americans. We're free because God made us free. And so we can look back at the past and we can realize that he did that so that we can be productive. We are back. He's brought our pastor back in 2018 so that we could be productive as a church. And he's helping us do that. He's brought back the president, the anointed president, in spite of all the hits. He's still standing. And he's going forward. And he's done that. God's done that. So that we can be productive for the Lord. Not so that we can enjoy America that I had and just have fun with it. Because we know the end times are coming. Amen. We know they're coming. But he gave us the opportunity so that we could hit the devil. So that we could be productive. It's time to reenlist. It's time to recharge. And I'm talking about what God is saying here, and I'm talking about in this message this morning in Psalm 126, it's very clear, from captivity to productivity is God's plan by your past sight of it. And let me say a second thing, it's God's plan by your present seeking of it. By your present seeking of it. And I want to talk about this. But I think I'll talk more about it tonight. I want you to read this psalm and I want you to come back tonight. You say, well, I don't plan to come back tonight. Well, listen, a remnant came from Babylon back to Judah and became productive. Our church has been in captivity in 2017. God brought us out, and we're now in a time of productivity. This is the third great wave of growth since we got the King James Bible in 1985. This is, we had three buses. After that, from 1986 to 96. We had three buses again, did we not? From 2000 to 2012, am I right or am I right?
Up to 2017.
Up to 2017. We had three buses. So we had three buses twice. And this historic day is the third time since the King James Bible that we're up to three buses.
Amen.
Again. So I invite you to come back tonight because, you see, I believe God wants us, according to this psalm, to go from our captivity into great divine productivity. You're on God's team if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you can't be productive. The Bible says you're not planted in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? The one that died for the sins of the world. The one that was buried for 3 days and three nights. The one that rose again. And he ever lives to make intercession. Who's now at the right hand of the Father. Who's inviting you this morning, if you're not saved, to turn from your own dead works, to turn from your own dead religion, to turn from your own dead life with a dead spirit, and to turn to the living Christ, and to trust Him as your Savior. And then you can be productive. Because Jesus said it this way, without me ye can do nothing. But he said, with me you can do everything. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen, if I was not saved, I would take advantage of that invitation. He says it's a free gift. He says all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, and he, whoever you are, that cometh to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. That means you come to him with nothing in your hands. You come to him a sinner. You come to him condemned to hell. And you put your faith in him alone to save you. He said, I won't ever cast you out if you come that way.
Amen.
I'll save you. And you will be in me. And you will be productive for me. That's why Ariel is able to come to church.
Amen.
Because there are people that are in Jesus Christ that when you move from up there in Einan to go way down there in West Pittston, God made a way for us to get her. God made a way. And you know what that way is? It's you who are saved by Jesus. Because he has no other hands to get his work done. No other feet to walk to get his work done. He's doing it through us.
Right.
And I'm saying this is a time of opportunity, of productivity. Will it be opposed? Oh, you just stay tuned to 2024. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If you go to God and say, God, I want to be productive. God, I want to be part of a harvest. God, I want to go forward, Lord. I want to play my part. I want to have an abundant entrance into your everlasting kingdom. God, I want to do that. You think he won't hear your prayers? Why, he heard Israel in Egypt. He heard their groaning. He heard their sighing. He heard their crying. And he said, I've come down to deliver them. He told Moses, you go. Moses made every excuse in the world why he couldn't do it. God said, oh, bring Aaron. You go. And he went. And God acted. You think God won't avenge his own elect? Which cry unto him day and night? He will do it. That's why we need to cry unto God. We need to get serious about God. About souls getting saved again. About people getting baptized again. Some of you have been saved, you need to put the uniform on. If you've been saved, you need to come and get out of your seat and come down the aisle and say, I need to get baptized. Because I want to put the uniform on. That's all baptism is. It's just after you get saved, it's the first thing you do to show whose side you're on. And you need to do that. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. You say, when? Now. If you're not saved, you need to get saved now. Amen? You need to get saved now. And if you're saved and you're baptized, you're part of the team, you need to start showing up. You need to start doing your part. And you need to keep doing it even when the devil punches back. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.